What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United
LSU Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United LSU Podcast. I am Jeff. I'll be hosting today, and I've only got one guest with me, but he is the best guest whenever you're talking about LSU, and that is Scott. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
No numbers right now. My number is 9. The number of inches that Joe Burrow has on his hand.
Oh, okay.
9-inch hands, baby. Nine-inch hands.
So yeah, well, all right. So let's start with that then, since you brought it up. What is he really not going to participate in the combine?
No, he is not. Which is actually pretty smart of him to do.
Because of his 9-inch hands.
Exactly. No, not he has 9-inch nails. No. Hey, like that. A lot of people don't, especially the higher, the bigger prospects. It's better for him to do it at the LSU Pro Day because he's throwing to receivers that he knows. He's doing drills. I would assume that probably LSU sets the drills that he wants to do. I'm sure if the NFL scouts have things they want him to do, that he'll do them. Mm-hmm. But, he'll get to do it to his wide receivers, to the people he's comfortable throwing to. He knows, their speed. He knows their – but he's going to be the number one pick anyway. So,
right. My combine was called the 2019.
Yeah, exactly. Season. 60 touchdowns. Look at the resume.
Right.
He did all the measurements. That's where the whole nine inch hands came out. Which were the smallest of all the quarterbacks, but it really means nothing.
And Drew Brees is short, so, who cares?
It really means nothing. It was kind of funny to see the Twitter reaction because everybody was kind of – you saw a bunch of people measuring their hands. They're like, oh, my hand's 10 inches. I could be an NFL quarterback, kind of thing, So, it's just – that's the one that was pretty funny and – because Tua's were, I don't remember what they were, but they were bigger than Joe's. And they're like, how did that work out for him? They had the clip of him fumbling in the SEC championship game on that first
shot. Well, right. And it is something where, yes, statistics get you so far. But at the end of the day, it's what you do on the field. And some of these players, some of the best players you've ever heard of, had something that bucked the statistical trend. Right. I mean, it's, every running back is like this, but the best running backs, you wouldn't realize, but they were, Barry Sanders was shorter than everyone has ever played against or something,
Right. So, it wasn't a huge deal, but yeah, the combine's going on this week. All the GMs are there in the teams, at least, they're interviewing the different players. Some of them are, they're interviewing him. Thaddeus Moss was kind of talk about, New England, which I think would probably be a good fit for him. Since his dad played there for a while and, he kind of got to meet Brady and stuff. He talked about when he was younger. the combine, it's good, I guess, just to see them kind of go out there and do their thing. A lot of people don't pay much attention to it. It's good, to see the 40 times. I kind of always like seeing that. Just to see
it's
how
good
fast
for the scouts and the NFL teams. And then of course the NFL Network needs something to put on TV, and they're going to make a bigger deal out of it than they have to. But in reality, it is what it is, and it's valuable for those people. But there's really no need to belabor the point or to feature it on anything of our talking points or anything like that. So,
no, carry I really
on
think
with
that,
your LSU talk.
All right, LSU football. Let's kind of stay with that. LSU has a new running backs coach, a name familiar to most Tiger fans, and Kevin Falk. So that's pretty awesome.
Former New England Patriot.
Yes, he's
and
he's
former.
Been,
where did he play college?
LSU. All eyes on three. So that's pretty awesome. The running backs coach went to Texas A&M, the previous one. So they moved Kevin Falk up, which I think is pretty awesome. He's very excited about it. Coach O is very excited about it. So he's been on staff for a while, but yeah, I definitely think it'll be positive. Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, he knows the game. He knows the you know, he's got Super Bowl rings and stuff, so he's well respected, so I think he'll do a good job.
And he's a good teacher.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he'll throw down in a fist fight after the game if anybody messes with his players. So
what's up?
He got that too. Moving on, we'll go to LSU basketball. They lost yesterday, Wednesday night, to Florida. Got pretty much smoked by Florida. Florida's defense was
would
really.
Would you say the LSU basketball team is in a tailspin?
We'll see. They might be. Yeah, they played South Carolina earlier or over the weekend. They beat them. You broke the curse of watching them on Saturday. So, you know, they did win that game. They lost to Florida. Florida's always a close game with them. Even the first game against them kind of came down to the last second. One thing kind of Coach Wade was upset about was the scheduling. He kind of complained about that because they had a late game last night at Florida. Then they come back. They don't really have time. They have like one day basically to practice because they have an early game on Saturday. It's at 11. So they really have a, you know, one practice to practice. They play A&M, Texas A&M on Saturday. There's, I think, three games left, three or four. So I think it's three. So, you know, if we can win these next three, which they're winnable games, we have A&M, Arkansas, and I don't recall who the last one is, but they're winnable games. You know, if we can win those three, you know, and kind of play well in the SEC tournament, like I said before, I think, you know, they'll definitely make that. I think they projected them before the Florida game. They projected Florida LSU to be a 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. So, it's for the most part, it seems like they should be in the tournament. And how far they'll go, I don't know. You know, if they run into teams that kind of defend well and can shoot threes, then they're going to be in some trouble. So, we'll have to kind of wait and see on that.
Not going to hold my breath.
I wouldn't. Which is, it's kind of just disappointing because they have a lot of good players on the team. They have a lot of talent. They're just kind of underperforming right now, you know.
Well, maybe the coaching style of fussing at them while they're winning didn't work out.
Maybe not.
I mean, yeah. Not saying it has lasting effects, but if you're willing to bitch it, like literally really make them feel like they're not good enough when they're undefeated in conference play. How do you think they're getting treated right now when they're losing?
Yeah. You know, I almost kind of think
morale is a big thing. I mean,
but I almost kind of think that he kind of foresaw the issues they were going to have later on in the season with the teams they had coming up against because they weren't performing well in certain areas. They were kind of winning their games by the skin of their teeth. They get a big lead and then lose it.
Okay.
And then have to pull it out at the end. So, you know, I think it might have been some kind of foreshadowing to
where. And that goes back to your coaching style. You can either find a way to positively improve on those things without making players feel inadequate because they are winning and say, hey, you know, take the positive spin on the things. Hey, guys, we're doing good. Let's get better in this area and then we'll really be able to sustain this winning rather than you're not good enough.
Yeah. I can see both ways.
I'm not saying that's what happened.
Yeah,
but I know. I will say that if that's his style and that his style is always that approach, you could lose a team that way.
Yeah.
Or you certainly won't improve.
Right. Yeah, I could see that.
Some players respond to that and some players don't.
Right.
And today's millennial players don't.
Yeah. You got to have strong leaders on the team to kind of be able to be like, hey, coach is getting on you because, you know,
when the new O'Neal kid arrives.
Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe he'll be
get a spark, yeah. They're going to need somebody because they're going to be losing Skylar Mays, who is really the leader of that team right now. So somebody's going to have to step up, and probably Javonte Smart will probably go too. So they're going to have to get somebody, you know, that can step up and be a leader on this team. So moving on a little bit to LSU baseball. They won their series this past weekend against Eastern Kentucky. The first game was very well pitched, but they just weren't hitting the ball. They lost 2-0. So, you know, the pitching was there. They just weren't hitting. Games 2 and 3, the bats kind of came alive. They won 6-3 and 10-2 in those games. So they took the series. So they won the series. They're 6-3 on the season. They won last night against La Tech, 7-1. And then they play Friday. They have a Shriners tournament in Houston this weekend. Shriners Hospital tournament. They play Texas Friday, Baylor Saturday, and Oklahoma on Sunday. Coach Maneri kind of said, LSU football team beat Texas. The basketball team beat Texas. Now it's our turn. So hopefully they can keep the trend going of Louisiana owning Texas. They kind of shuffled the lineup a little bit this week, but they've been shuffling the lineup around a lot lately, trying to get it set for SEC's play starts. But this week they're kind of sticking with the same lineup to see how it goes. So far last night against Tech, they won 7-1, so it's doing pretty good. So we'll see how it plays out. I think they have the pitching to do it. It's just a matter of, getting the bats going.
So. It sounds like they are settled up on a lineup though for now, right?
Yeah, I think he's kind of settled in with what he wants to do. He's kind of trading off,
Because when I'm reading here, it says he's planning to use the same starting nine this week, beginning against La Tech, which was
last night, right?
And then I think they're going to play those same nine at least for the next
this weekend. Yeah, their shortstop, Hal Hughes, has been hitting well. He hasn't been that great in the field, making a few errors here and there. So they kind of switched up the shortstop. They're kind of substituting some defensive for some offensive. The kid they're putting in at shortstop now is a freshman. And he's at the bottom of the order. Hopefully.
I mean, do you think that, again, let's go back to second guessing the coach and his approach to things. Is the fact that nobody knew who was starting when or what, and there was that uncertainty all this
time, is that a part of
the problem, or is that normal in baseball?
It's kind of normal in college baseball just to kind of figure out your lineup, unless you have a lot of people that have, are seniors or whatever. But I mean, you always get new freshmen in that can play. You're always going out and, and hitting a recruiting trail. So at the beginning of the season, it's not like football or basketball where you're kind of have things set. You kind of have to rotate things around a little bit till you find the right solution. And the goal, especially early in the season, is to kind of move people around, see how they do. They use that a lot for midweek games. Once we get into SEC time, they kind of will maybe play different players during those midweek games just to kind of see, mostly pitching. They'll put in different pitchers during the week as opposed to their, regular weekend starters, just to kind of see how the lineup flows and give them, kind of a chance. So it's kind of normal at the beginning of the season to do that.
Okay.
So hopefully he'll find the right, lineup and matchup before the SEC, season starts. Because once that kicks in, every series, is going to matter. Every weekend series is going to matter. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, the team needs to step up and start playing.
Yeah, like I said, they're hitting better. So, that was kind of one of the big things last year was we weren't hitting the ball very well. We got a new hitting coach this year. So, hopefully that turns around. The pitching, it was always kind of there, but the bats were just too up and down. And so, hopefully this year, we get that corrected and we can kind of, keep the momentum as far as the consistency is at the plate. So, kind of moving on, kind of sticking with that, ball. We're moving to LSU softball. We haven't really talked about them very much, but I definitely feel the need that we need to talk about them right now just because of the things they've been doing lately.
They are the antithesis of the baseball team.
I mean, they're killing it right now. They're number 4 in the country. So out of their last 5 games, they have 4 wins, 2 one-hit games, and then they had a no-hitter, they had a perfect game, and the other two games where they gave up hits, they only gave up one, each game. So 4 shutouts in the last 5 games. Pitching is doing just awesome. They're 13-1 on the season. So out of the last 5 games, they have 5 wins. Between their 4 pitches, they have 5 wins, 30 out strikeouts. They've only given up 4 hits. So, I mean, they're just killing it. You know, and two no-hitters, a perfect game. Can't really ask much more. They're hitting the ball well. The girl who pitched the perfect game was Mary Beth Gorsuch. One amazing stat from that game is, so they play seven innings in softball, in college softball. So you're facing 21 batters. So 21 up, 21 down for a perfect game. She threw 21 first pitch strikes, which is pretty amazing. I don't know how many times that's been done, but
I couldn't even throw the ball in like a 10-foot radius 21 times in a row.
Yep.
Underhanded, like at that, you know what I mean? The way they pitch.
I mean, 21 first pitch strikes is just, that's incredible.
That is
so
incredible.
Their coach.
She's all right.
Yep. And their coach won their 500th game. Beth Tarina won her 500th game on that game, the perfect game. Upcoming, they have the Judy Garland Classic, which I believe is on the West Coast. Listen to this, though. So they have two games Thursday, two games Friday, and one game Saturday. So in 3 days, they have five games. That's just crazy. And then one of their games Friday is against the number two team in the country, Washington. So, and then there's the number 25 team is out there too playing against them. I think it's Cal. So, I mean, they've got, you know, a lot of games coming up. They do play a lot of games. So hats off to them. Hats off to to Mary Beth Gorsuch, who, you know, threw the perfect game. And then the other pitchers that, you know, have been really shutting it down. Four shutouts in five games. That's, you know, you can't ask for much more as far as from your pitching staff. So,
all right.
Last but not least,
since we're talking about female athletes,
LSU gymnastics.
Scott's favorite.
Jeff, tell the audience about your experience with LSU gymnastics last Friday.
So I watched, as you suggested, and wouldn't let me not watch. So I went ahead and turned it on. At first, background. And our 17-year-old son, at first kind of walked in the room. He's like, what in the world is this? Why is gymnastics on the TV? About 10 minutes later, I happened to catch him sitting on the couch, phones on the ground. He's kind of like not even sitting back on the couch. He's just kind of like leaning forward, mouth half open, just staring. I'm like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you like college gymnastics, don't you? So now I will say, so we ended up watching it, and it, like I said, it was background at first, and I guess the last 10 minutes or so, we were all on the couch watching because the score was so close. And like you had said last week, Scott, it is pretty exciting when it's, I mean, you're only off by like a tenth or two tenths of a point or a point even. And you're sitting here thinking, how are these girls going to do this? Because while they're getting 9.8, 9.9s or whatever, the other team's doing just as good, or if not. So it's kind of like, again, like the Pelicans trying to get that 8 seed. Like you can't just beat them. You got to beat them by a certain amount or something. So that was the – still don't understand all the rules, but I liken it almost to watching wrestling where you're watching for the stunt. You know what I mean? You're watching great feats of athletic ability where they're doing flips and things like that, where, you know, wrestling, obviously, WWE, it's the stunts are impressive. Well, here, when you're doing the floor exercise, the flips are impressive. When you're on the, what do you call that thing? The balance beam, I think?
Yeah, where they're balancing. There's a balance beam.
Yeah. I mean, again, and you think about it, when you really put it into perspective, just standing on the thing, it's hard for people like us, right? Then these girls are doing flips with no hands and landing perfectly. I mean, it is impressive. They deserve to be on TV. And then the fact that LSU is so good that they're winning, the way that they're winning, I guess, or the amount that they're winning. Are we going to see any of these girls in the Olympics?
I think it asked me that before. I don't think so. The only one maybe would be Ruby Harold, who is from England. She was in the last Olympics. She was on the Olympic team last time that rolled around. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't think so. But, yeah, they do have a very good team. They play Arkansas this Friday. The meet you watched against Missouri, they won. So that was good. And then they have a meet against Arkansas on Friday. It is at the PMAC. Kind of like I was telling you, the one against Missouri was away. When they're at home at the PMAC, it's such an even better atmosphere because, you know, you've got 10,000-11,000 people there. Everybody's into every, you know, routine that they do, every flip they do. They're cheering, you know. When the girls come out prior to they have like the introductions, they come out and there's like flames shooting up and they have spotlights and they're waving and, you know, introducing them. So
you think that intimidates the other team? Because they sure don't have that at their home field.
No, they don't. I mean, you go in and a PMAC, I don't know, a gymnasium, I don't know.
A home gym, home floor.
Yeah, home gym. Home mat. There you go.
Home mat.
So, you know, I mean, definitely intimidating. Even just being in the PMAC in front of 10,000-11,000 people, I mean, there's most schools aren't like that.
Right. It's usually like their mom and maybe like one
you know,
other person.
You know, oh, my aunt's coming. My grandma's going to be here. You know, I mean,
you can literally hear them saying,
you know, go. But, you know, coming into the PMAC with 10,000-11,000 people is just, it's crazy. And they got signs and they're cheering and, you know, it's just.
I mean, if we were students at LSU, we'd be going to that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm upset I didn't go when I was there, you know.
Well, they weren't
good. I don't know. They were that good back then. But, yeah, you know.
Should have gone.
You know, it's definitely something I want to take my daughters to go see eventually. Yeah. So, like I said, they Friday, Arkansas. At the PMAC. It's on SEC Plus, so you can watch it on the ESPN app, which I think pretty much most of theirs is on the ESPN app.
Why is it not, say, for example, on SEC Network? What is it competing with for time?
Honestly, usually
– or...
No, I think on Fridays they usually have – they call it – I can't remember what they call it, Friday Night Mats or something like that. I don't know. But they usually have all the other SEC schools. Like, they'll have three back-to-back gymnastics.
Well, yeah, because I did notice before the LSU-Missouri match, they had something before it.
Right. So, you know, I guess they just can't have everybody on the network at, you know, they only pick three.
Instead of a red zone, they should do like a
– That'd be nice.
A mat zone.
Now it'll be good, you know, because when the SEC tournament comes up, you know, in March, they'll have, you know, it all on
more features.
So they'll have it on then, and then they usually all have the nationals on there. So they have a big tournament with, like they do for every other sport. So mm-hmm. For every other sport except football. Well, they have its playoff now, I guess. But yeah, go check them out. Jeff liked it. You'll like it too.
And yeah, and I think yeah, it's worth it. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'm a dude, I can't watch gymnastics, or gymnastics isn't entertaining, or it's not a sport to watch. It really actually, if you sit down and get over yourself and actually just pay attention for the competition that it is. And look, the athletes there. I'm trying to think of a nice, polite way to say it, but I mean, they ain't bad to look at, you know. I mean,
they are not.
And that was the other thing that Cameron even asked. He was like, "Man, how are those girls getting like so high up in the air with their jumps? I mean, their verticals are insane." And granted, the floor is springy, and I was like, "Yeah." So look at the floor, and then also, like, their legs are like tree trunks. I mean, their legs are nothing but muscle. It is muscle from the heel all the way up to the neck. So, yes, they are fit.
They're very fit. Very attractive young ladies, most of them. So,
all right, keep it down.
I said they're attractive young ladies. I'm a dad, you know. I've got kids.
Okay, so. This is getting creepy.
I'm just saying, like, they're good role models for the young girls to look up to.
So, yeah, I think if you find yourself in a position to watch a little gymnastics, go ahead and do it. maybe as we go forward in the episodes throughout the season, we'll get a little bit more into the rules so we can understand what the heck we're watching.
Sure. And they do, you know, if I know you kind of had it on background noise at the beginning, but if you do watch the broadcast, they do a pretty decent job of explaining what the judges are looking for. They'll have like a little breakdown in the bottom of the screen. So if you are watching it for the first time, you know, they'll do that. So,
okay. So we're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Dome Patrol US and at Dome Patrol UK. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or to listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys. Bye-bye. I don't know. That's Jason's thing. I can't think of anything to say. What do you want me to say? I don't know. Bye-bye, tiger donkeys. I don't know.
Tiger donkeys.
That tiger donkeys.
Like a mashup of a really bad animal.
It's not even worse than his pellet donkeys or whatever you say for the.
Like,
for
so
the
that's pelican. More like a Peloton, you know? It's like an exercise.
Peloton.
Peloton keys.
Peloton keys. Good night, Tiger Night. Well, Joe.